Way to go. That's what life is all about, is knowing which path you're on. Now, I want you to take this word. We're going to bump it up a little octave today. We're in that generation that the watchmen are supposed to watch. So we're going to go a little deeper in this today. It's time. So let's take hados, which is the word way. It can mean a highway. It can mean a path. But most of all, in the figurative and spiritual sense, it means a mode or a means of your journey through this life. Through this life means this life in the flesh. It is the way you walk. It is the way you go. So open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of St. Mark, chapter 8. St. Mark, chapter 8, that great gospel of the young one. And verse 1 reads, "In those days the multitude, being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and saith unto them," verse 2, "I have compassion." Our Lord was full of it. You want to always remember that. That's the mark of one of God's elect. "I have compassion on the multitude, and because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." Now, they've got the bread of life right there in front of them. What is he telling us here? 3 days they've heard the teachings of Christ, watched the miracles, and they're starving. What does that mean? It wasn't Christ's fault. They don't get it. As many people don't get it today. So we're going to kick it down a notch here. What does he do in that case? Verse 3. He continues, "And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way," hados, their journey in life, in this flesh life, "for divers of them come from far." In other words, if they don't accept the bread of life, they're not going to make it. That's what it means. In other words, if they don't accept Christ, if they don't see what he's doing, then on their journey in this flesh life, they're not going to make it. 3 days they have been with him. 3 days they have listened to him. They still don't get it. But he shows that compassion to teach them and to take them that extra level. Verse 4, how did he do it? "And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" We're out here where there's no stores, there's no quick trips. Verse 5, "And he asked them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. Now, I hope 7 means something to you. I think you get it. 7, how many will stick with Christ? How many will not bow a knee to Baal? It's God's elect. Okay. Symbolic of that. Okay. Those 7, the 7 eyes in the stone that Zerubbabel holds before the people and the watchmen, whereby they can see the straight and narrow. 7. But here they have the real bread of life standing in front of them. They just don't get it. Verse 6, "And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and he gave thanks." Do you give thanks? This is Thanksgiving. You've got a lot to be thankful for. Don't ever forget it. If you get it, "and brake, and he gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people." In another place, he would divide them up in 50s. Do you know what 50 is? It's Pentecost. 50 is Jubilee. That is the day that God's elect received the Holy Spirit and began to speak, began to teach, began to feed the multitude, began to give them the truth, the knowledge, the wisdom. And always with order, not a mob, not some grotesque beast or something of that nature. Everything in a natural sense. Because they had the very miracle standing before them. God was with us, Emmanuel. 7. And they had a few small fish, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. 8. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And here's where the warning comes in for God's elect. You want to pay close, very close attention. In other words, there was still enough left over, but what is it? That's what you want to be careful of. In other words, it's fragments. A little of this, a little of that, and a little of something else. How much of it's the real Word of God? How much of it is the real bread of life? It has been contaminated by fragments being picked up. But there was 7 baskets left. Verse 9, And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Why? Because they had the bread of life with them now. They understood. They had been taught. Let me ask you a question. Did Christ teach them? Did Christ feed them? I'll ask it that way. No, he didn't. He blessed the bread, broke it, and gave it to the disciples. That's God's elect. And told them to feed it. You got to be a doer. You got to be somebody. You got to work for him when that opportunity. You always protect your credibility. You don't stand on some corner shouting. But at least when an opportunity prevails, you make hay while the sun shines. If you get it. Verse 10. And straightway, immediately, he entered into a ship with his disciples, and they came into parts of Dalmatia, which is to say the city. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. I'd like to have a sign. I just wish God. You got him. You have the Lord Jesus Christ that died on the cross for you. And he gave you the word. What kind of sign would you need? He gave us the signs for the seasons, and you're supposed to pay attention to that. But the greatest sign there ever was is that bread of life. And here the crooks, those that would twist and bend the very word of God, they want to see something. Don't worry, they're going to get to see a bunch, okay, before the ultimate time. They're trying to tempt him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Question. I mean, he was healing people, raising the dead, and what more could they ask for? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. They've had it. In other words, he fed them. You either get it or you don't. Verse 13, and he left them and entered into a ship again, departing to the other side. 14, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Here comes the knowledge. Listen carefully. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. 15, and he charged them, saying, take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. In other words, a little bit of leaven will spoil the whole loaf, and you got 7 baskets. You had 7 baskets of it. Fragments. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet? Don't you even get it? Neither understandeth. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? 19, when I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 12. Now that's a bunch of fragments. 20, and when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand. In other words, any time you have a large gathering like we do at Passover, it's going to be just like it's written in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 11. You've got these partridges that'll come along thinking they're God's gift to the people. And they always have to go to a ministry that God is blessing to pick, because nobody will listen to them. And as it says in Jeremiah 17:11, the partridge steals eggs and sets on them, wanting hers. But when they hatch out, they'll have nothing to do with her. Why? They were drawn from the truth. And of course, this has to do with money as well as with religion. That's what Christ is teaching here. Okay. Stick with the true bread of life, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and know that He is the way. There is no other way. He always breaks it down whereby we can understand. And if you listen to Him, you will be well fed. You will be nourished, whereby nothing really offends you all that much. Why? You know God's going to punch out anything that would come against, not man's work, but God's work. You don't have to worry about it. So that's what He's talking about here. You don't have to worry about the fragments as long as you are aware that they exist and do not get folded up within it. Do you know what happens if you get folded up within it? Because when the church cleaning comes, you're going out with the trash. You don't want that. Christ is going to clean house. So you want to be ready for it. And understand, leave the fragments. Leave the partridge egg hatching to the partridges, and you teach God's Word. As one of God's elect, you're responsible to see that the Word, the real truth, that is to say Christ, the way, is before us always. Don't be 3 days with Him and not get it. Okay. That disappointed Him. Understand with completeness and be fed from the very Word of God itself, whereby you are protected against anything that might come against you, because God always says, touch not mine anointed. He meant that. That's why He gives truth to His elect to share and to take it around the world, whereby people hear in these end days. Okay, let's go back to another gospel. Let's go to the book of Matthew. And let's go to chapter 10. Christ here is preparing the elect to send them out. You want to always remember this. This is how it's done, right from the mouth of Jesus Christ Himself. Verse 5, chapter 10, the great book of Matthew. Jesus sending out the disciples. And these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way. That's hados of the Gentiles. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. He had not paid the price on the cross yet, which opened to everyone, whomsoever will. But He was preparing them to take that message. 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Let them know who they are. Let them know they have obligations. Let the kings and queens, even of the ethnos, know they have obligations. 7, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The King and His dominion is with us. It's not off way somewhere, but it's here. It's in your heart. It's His love for His children as He sends them forth. 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And most of those things, if you're a true servant of God, you can accomplish those things in Christ's name. Why? It's not you that do it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Don't take a begging bag with you. That's what the Greek is there. Why? God's going to take care of you if you're really doing God's work. You don't have to beg to keep a huge ministry going. If God is with it, nobody can be against it, or He will crush them. God blesses those that follow Him, those that work in that ministry. They're a blessing. No one can do it by themselves, but our Father, as He leads, how precious a working art that God puts forth as He sent the 12. Not just one, but the 12, the whole lot of the disciples. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in that is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. Only go with those that have compassion and those that love God's word. Don't go where somebody's, well, I believe God has appointed me to be one of the two witnesses. I think God is making me something special. He made all of us something special. We're His children. Don't ever get on ego trips or you're going to burn, okay? That's the worst thing you can do. God, we have that one, and He is capable. And when you come into a house, salute it. I mean, give it your respect if you're welcome there. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Don't mess with it. If you're not welcome there, hey, you don't need it. God doesn't need it. They're out. Period. You know, don't cast your pearls before swine ever. You know why? They'll turn around and rend you. Or try to, but guess what? God does away with little ants that try to bother. They mess up the sugar. 14, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. They're not worth it. God doesn't want them right now. Maybe later, but not now. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Why? Because Christ has been here now. Christ died on the cross. And if anybody gets anything at all, they should know that. Otherwise, they'll be judged harshly. 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You always be very aware of everything that goes on around you and whoever is doing what. You got it. God will send it in. You'll know. You know who's who. And be wiser than the serpent, because demons will be sent. You can count on it. And all you have to do is, in the name of Christ, rebuke them. And they're gone. It has happened many times in this ministry. We don't advertise that fact, and I better be quiet about it right now, because we're on national television. Anyway, be that as it may. Harmless as doves, though. Okay, can you be peaceful? Well, I just like to grind a little bit. Well, this old Marine does too, but at the same time, I can be peaceful. Why? Because the Lord was. And when it's possible, always get along. If it is not possible, then it's time to clean house. Okay? It always happens that way. Verse 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. This is why it's ever so important. We're talking about the elect being delivered up before the false Messiah here. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the nations, translated. Let me tell you something. What a precious time we live in. Even the prophets wanted to live now. And God has given us something that is ever so precious. It's a platform that goes around the world. And how precious it is when you hear the blessings that are brought upon the people from what? From all of your efforts that combine, but mostly the Word of God, as it strengthens them and leads them and gives them hope in a troubled world. But when they deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you will speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour. What hour is that? If you've studied with me, you know what hour it is. It's the hour of temptation. What ye shall speak. 20, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now just hold the phone here a moment. Well, tell me, dear pastor, what is the Spirit of the Father? Do I really have to tell you? You know what the Spirit of the Father is. It's the Holy Spirit. If anybody ever asks, well, what's the Holy Spirit? It's the Spirit of our Heavenly Father. And He's in you if you receive it. And you in Him. And He instructs us. He leads us. He shows us what we need to know. And when it's time, just be ready to be with that witness when that time does come, serving Him as a precious thing. That hour of temptation is coming. Piece of cake. Why? We've got Him with us. Who? Father Spirit. That's the Father Himself wanting to speak through you. How fortunate could you be? What an honor. 21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Now, delivered up before death is what this should be translated. Who is death? It's Satan. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, that old devil which is death. Well, why in the world would somebody deliver their child up to death? It's really quite simple. They have been pumped this stuff that they're going to fly away any moment, though the word rapture is not even in the Word of God. But it makes it so easy for somebody to teach 20 minutes and pacify a bunch of people, give them a security blanket that's a lie, because what they do when He comes and His message is, I've come to fly you away, anyone in ignorance, that is to say that don't get it, they're going to worship Him. Because He's not some monster. He is made the full pattern by Almighty God. He's a looker. He's one of the protecting cherubs. And He will deceive many people. And your kinfolks that do not know the truth are going to run to Him to be raptured away. They don't realize. I mean, good people worshiping Satan. That is so sad. You know, you could just cry thinking about it. And all they're going to do because they love you is say, please help my brother. He's really a good old boy. He's just deceived. He doesn't believe you're Christ. And they'll say, well, bring him on in. Let's convert him. That's how you get delivered up before them. 22, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. That's Christ. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You got no problem. He'll take care of you right through. God always protects His anointed. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man, has become. Isn't it a miracle that here He has given us the push of one button, and we go all the way around the world in an instant? What a gift from God to have that ability to be blessed with it. How precious it is to be able to teach this word, God's word, to those that are misled, those that are deceived, to give them that hope, that life, eternal life. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over all the cities till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. They persecuted Christ. They're going to persecute you a little bit when you stand for the truth. It is enough for the disciple, the pupil, that he be as his master. It's going to happen that way. And the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, if they call Jesus Christ a devil, if you're really teaching God's truth, they're going to call you a devil too, to their chagrin. Boy, does God slap their head on that one. How much more shall they call them of His household? But that's to be expected. You've got ignorance in this world. They can't help it. That's the way they are. But God will take care of business. So don't be thin-skinned and don't be some wimp and don't be some poor me baby. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Stand up and be counted. For we're coming up to that time that watchmen must watch. And when the opposition comes, you've got to trust the Lord enough to know we got it made. He protects His own. Verse 26, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. God lets you know everything that moves against you. It gets back to you, and you know it. It's real easy that way to be smarter than the devil, because you got his number coming out the gate. He's nothing. 27, what I tell you in darkness and speak you in the light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye all up on the housetop. Listen carefully. This is one of the reasons we came here. And fear not them which kill the body. You don't have to shake about that. But are not able to kill the soul. In other words, they cannot prevent you from having eternal life. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's the way God does it. He smokes them. I mean, that soul doesn't exist anymore. He causes it to perish. And you have these people that will run around teaching, they're going in that pit and they're going to burn forever and ever. No, it says the smoke's going up forever and ever. All right? When you're blotted out, I mean, if that's difficult for you, sometimes draw a little line with your pencil and then erase it. You know, it's gone. Well, so are they. That's why you can't shed a tear for them, because you don't even remember that they exist. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father's knowledge? Do you realize that? God knows what's going on. He takes care of His elect. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered, and God knows that. That should be very rewarding to you and comforting to know that God has His hand on His elect. That's why we are so blessed. And that's why so many years of work in building this ministry and taking it around the world is blessed. And people are being blessed by it. Not by man, but by God Himself. How precious that is to be a part of that. We thank our Father for it. Now, skip right on into the 11th chapter of this same book. Pick it up with the 7th verse. I'm going to go a few verses here. Chapter 11, Matthew. And verse 7. And as they departed Jerusalem, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John. John had just sent two disciples to ask a question. What went you out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? You know, what does that mean? Listen to some preacher 5 minutes this way and then shake, the wind changes and blows over here and they believe that? No. John stayed straight on. Repent and be baptized. But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in king's houses. That wasn't John. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Verse 10, this is why we came here. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way, hados, that type of life, that journey in life before thee. The very life of Christ himself in that teaching. Refer Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. In other words, in a spiritual body, you have that advantage. But what John was, boy, he kept it, I mean, straight on. And for the days of John, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent ones take it by force. They try to. I mean, Satan is always, you know what happens when you do something wrong? He'll say, God, look at your little baby down there. You're so proud of that one. But look at them. They don't amount to anything. But God knows your heart. Man might misjudge you. God doesn't. 13, For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. Well, did they receive him? I mean, it would have been. He was the forerunner. But did they receive him? Are you a Bible scholar? You know what happened to John. They didn't receive him. They cut his head off because of a sexual orgy that a little old king was putting forth. So that didn't cut it. It wasn't time for the Savior to establish the kingdom on earth or the forerunner to establish the path. That comes at the second advent. He that hath a hear, let him hear the word of God. And there you have it. We've got Mark, and now we had Matthew. Let's go with Luke. Great book of Luke, chapter 10. He didn't promise you that this way on earth would be easy. He didn't promise you that it would be a bed of roses. He didn't promise you that everything's going to go just dandy fine. You're going to have everything just right. He expects people that can take care of business with discipline, to know and to understand that must be done, and to do it. Verse 30, and Jesus answering said, this is chapter 10, the great book of Luke. Verse 30, and Jesus answering, who is your neighbor? That's what this is. Who can you really trust? Who is really with you? When the chips are down, because they're going down, my friend, you want to heed the word of God. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Bad road, bad way, dangerous. Which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Boy, did he take the wrong path. Okay. Verse 31. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, Hadas. Okay. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I'd be a man of God, and I don't have time to mess with junk. I'd be a priest, and I'm too busy to have compassion on somebody that needs a little help. Why would I want to be bothered with that? What do you think the Lord thinks about that? Well, don't worry, He does. 32, and likewise a Levite. This is one of God's children here. Not a Samaritan, not somebody else, but one that's supposed to be trained in the law, the word. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Don't take up space. I'll be above you. I'm better than anyone else. I do not have compassion. I do not have time for you. I'm too busy serving the Lord. Does that reach? I don't think so. Christ won't accept that. Then what happened? But a certain Samaritan, Christ picks one that just was hated by Israel, the Samaritans. And a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. That's the mark of somebody God is using. Had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Oil for healing. Wine for strength, and set him on his own beast. I mean, he was walked and put this man on his beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He cared. He had that compassion. God's teaching you a lesson here if you want God to use you. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence. That sounds real small, but for that time it'd be about 64 bucks or more. And gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. I'll take care of it. Why? He cared. Which now of these three, that's the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. And so it is that in journeying that way, you're going to have troubles. I mean, you can fall into danger if you don't use this up here, gray matter that God gives you to be forewarned. But then always show compassion when you're on that hadas, that road, for it's family. Or you're not family, whichever. You know, you make the choice, and God knows. And that's the way it is. But, and I might, a brother or a sister is one born of the womb of Israel. A neighbor is one that is adopted in through Christ into the house of Israel. Well, we've got three gospels here today we've gone through. Let's close it out by going to the one remaining. That would be John. And let's go to John 14, lest you ever forget which road you're on. John chapter 14, in closing. Jesus speaking, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know, that'll end your trouble right there if you'll do that. He'll take care of you. In my Father's house are many mansions. This is mono. It means resting places, not some fancy building. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And he did. That's why 50 is so important. Because on the 50th day, he left on the 40th, and 10 days later on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and has been with us ever since. His comfort. That's your Father's Spirit leading you, guiding you, and teaching you. He prepared that for you, paid the price. Don't ever hesitate to take advantage of it, to love him. That's what he wants from you. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the rule. Okay. That in you that are students of God's word, you know that that means the second advent, but it also means the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, and whither I go, you know, and the way, hadas. You know the way, or I hope you do. For that is the journey in life, the mode in life that you must trust and take and be assured of. 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way, hadas? How can we know that? This had to hurt the Lord Jesus Christ. 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. That's hadas also. If you ever have any doubts, come to this verse. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Rest assured that is true. And if you ever want his blessings, you better be thankful for that. Because there is no other way. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Oh my goodness. Seen him? Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth. It'll satisfy us if you just show us the Father. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Emmanuel, God with us. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You're looking at him. And there he was. Verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. And so it is today in God's elect. He does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the every work's sake. In other words, I perform miracles. If you can't believe that, you're not going to believe anything. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do, or she do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Because he went unto the Father. There they could speak to groups of 50, 500, and so on. Today, the works he has given us allows us to go around the world with the push of one switch. Greater works even then. Who did that? He did. Man couldn't do it. Some little old town in northwest Arkansas have a network that goes around the world that costs millions every month to keep it going. We sure couldn't do it here from Gravette, Arkansas. But the children of God around the world do it, and we do not have to beg. Why? Because God's truth comes from this ministry, and nothing can withhold it. Why? The very angels themselves insisting and helping and assisting to bring that truth forward and making it possible, touching hearts around the world, touching people. And how precious it is that he gives us these things. What a platform. A platform is power. But the main power is God's Holy Spirit. His Spirit with us, blessing us, leading us, talking to us, giving us instructions, helping us. How precious it is. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. How can you help but love him? For he leads you. He guides you. He provided all these things for you. He brought you the ability to obtain eternal life. Hadas, the way. The way to and mode and method in which you journey in this life. It makes it real easy when you realize what that way is. When he says in John 14, I am the way. And he makes it real easy. You know, sheep follow the shepherd because they know his voice. You know Christ's voice. And when we follow him and the way he leads us, how precious it is. But always remember, a little recap, who fed the multitude? Did Christ feed the multitude? No, he didn't. He broke it, blessed it, thanked God for it, and gave it to the disciples to share. You're a blessing to people when you have that knowledge and truth. Nothing's going to be held back from God's children when that time comes for that seed to be planted. You don't have to be some fancy preacher. You're a child of God. And you have that truth. Share it when God makes it known that he wishes it, and be blessed, for he certainly will bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the way. Thank you for being our way, Father. We ask that you bless, lead, guide, and direct. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
The mark of the beast on...